Yvonne Sampson, not far away. Now, deliciously flaky pastry on top, bottom, which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. I'm talking about Garlo's Pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate, and Garlo's Pies are simply bursting with flavour. There's heaps of flavours to choose from, and here's a thought, take a night off from cooking. Grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. We are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, just ask for Garlo's Pies by name. Garlo's Pies, they're thin on pastry. They're big on meat. The multi, it is big on meat, the multi as well.
Very popular, mate. Now it's into $7.50. Yes.
Just had a little trim up this morning.
You've told everyone in the office that it's been trimmed up. So trimmed. A lot of people are obviously on board. And I'd like to thank everyone that's been involved this morning with this Bet's Friends project, and I've been inundated with text messages, so thank you very much.
Amazing
but,
amount.
But you don't have to text in anymore because the IT department is under the pump, and we're struggling to...
wouldn't be a first.
Well, Tom's struggling to write them all down. Mm. So
you put them under the pump.
Well, we've only got one. And he's writing them down on a bit of paper, and there's plenty to choose from. Yeah. So in the next 20 minutes...
Sure, when he took up the job, but I don't know.
No, I don't think it was part of his...
But, you know...
He said to me this morning, he said, mate, are you going to do this Bet Friends again, or is it just one of those things that's just going to last for a week or two?
Well, help his said, KPI meeting.
I said, stick with me, brother.
take him for the journey.
He loves it, Tommy. He's just shaking his head. He's not happy. He's not happy. But anyway, I'm going to pick out three of those, and we'll have them up and let people know after 8:30.
Delicious. All right. Anyway, the multi, if you've missed it, Colino to run top two in the Tab Hallmark, into broadsiding to run top two in the Champagne, and it's $7.50 in its usual spot. Yvonne Sampson coming up shortly. Another match looking forward to is certainly the Raiders and the Bronx this weekend. Your Raiders coach, Ricky Stewart, has spoken to the Courier-Mail ahead of this match tomorrow night. A match the Raiders won last year, by the way, up there at Suncorp. Firstly, he said there isn't one issue between he and Des Hasler off the back of that entertaining post-match stoush last week. And on the sort of reference to how he is viewed as somewhat of an entertainer, in the Courier-Mail, Stewart says, well, for everyone else, it may be theatre and fun, but it's not theatre for us at the coalface. And he praised his old teammate, Kevin Walters, and how his authenticity and care for the Broncos comes out in his coaching. And there were more good news for the Raiders this week. Ethan Strange was locked up until the end of 2028, and he's looked fantastic so far this season. But Zach Hosking, possibly out for the season, still needs to meet with surgeons, but certainly at least 3 months out. And he was being spoken about early doors, of course, in the buy of the year category.
He was. He was playing exceptional football, and every game he played for the Raiders, he was arguably their best player. So that's unfortunate for Zach and unfortunate for the Raiders if he is, in fact, ruled out for the season. But forwards isn't an issue for the Raiders. They've got plenty of depth in that area. Although Zach, as that right edge back row, is doing a fantastic job. It'll be a big game up there for the Raiders up in Brisbane, because I still think people doubt what they're doing at the moment, and they can play a lot better football. And the Broncos are doing enough to stay in touch. But the Raiders will go up there confident that they can get the job done. But it will be tough up there at Suncorp Stadium, because it's always difficult to boot.
And I know someone who was there with the popcorn, the cheese toasties, glass of red, just loving the Ricky Stewart, Des Hasler post-match Raiders Titans debate, furor, whatever you want to call it, was Yvonne Sampson from Fox League. How are you, Yvonne?
Oh, good morning, boys. A little bit Days of Our Lives, wasn't it? I didn't mind it. It's they're both a bit dramatic. I'd love them. And Ricky Stewart, as you mentioned, it's a really fascinating insight into Rick. And I know he says, look, I'm really passionate. That's just who I am. I get very emotional. He said that he and Des are sweet. So, you know, they're probably more similar than they want to admit. So it would be very natural for them to have a confrontation, a flare up, and then just move on. And what did they say in that article? That Ricky Stewart over the years had donated about 160 large post-match press conference in fines. So, you know, from the media, as much as we love the blow-up, it's
expensive.
You know, like, Ricky doesn't mean to make the headlines. He just is, you know. So, yeah, no, he's one of a kind, old Rick, and we absolutely love him. Wouldn't change him for the world.
Yeah, he's funny, and I laugh when he goes to those press conferences because I reckon I've got a good understanding.
You know what's coming.
I do. Yeah, I do. And it wouldn't surprise me at all, Vonnie, after Dez's press conference. Ricky was going into that press conference to blow up about the refereeing, but then heard Dez's comments and then took the opposite view.
Absolutely. He would have grabbed it on that. And you can tell when he pivots sometimes and something else makes him furious and then that triggers him. It's really good. And you know what? That's exactly what you get from Rick. You always know exactly where you stand with him. You know, even if we make a comment at Fox, he'll get on the text and say, right, you reckon? Like, you know, he doesn't miss a trick. And, I mean, if I'm a player, I want my coach to have my back like that. Like, he is all over you, you know? Like, he just... He backs you to the hilt. He'll defend you, gets himself into trouble, happy to wear it, and then come out the next week and push on. But this Broncos-Raiders, it'll be, I think, a bit of the match of the round, given the form they've brought into this. It's got that really nice 90s vibe every time these two play each other. You spoke about Ethan Strange. I think he showcased a really excellent running game for where he is in the development in the halves. I think Ethan hasn't put a foot wrong. Jamal Fogarty has nailed his kicking game each and every week. And it's so good to see him now get a little bit more recognition as a controlling halfback. And yeah, Canberra, they've been really clean. It's no frills, but it's working a treat. And defensively, they're one of the best teams in the NRL. So it shows that they're connected. It shows that they're on their assignments and it shows that they're turning up. So, you know, the Raiders, I think they've been underestimated massively and they're making mugs of us.
You were with Mal this week. Where were you? And Mal's obviously not coaching Souths.
No. Well, it was a bit touch and go there. So we'd had this special feature story that we planned to shoot and to take Mal back to Tanner Island and to his village at Lewittle, where his great-grandfather jumped off the rocks and swam out to a ship, which the slave ships and blackbirding was very prominent in and around Vanuatu and South Sea Island to bring... you know, the strongest, tallest, fittest men back to Queensland to cut cane. So Mal's forefathers, that's where they came from, but his great-grandfather jumped off the rocks off Tanner Island and ended up in Maribor cutting cane. So we took Mal and his kids back to their village. They had a beautiful welcoming and a custom ceremony. They gave him this gorgeous custom name. And, yeah, it was really, really special to experience such a beautiful moment like that with the Meningas. And, it was so... Yes, for everyone out there, yes, I just spent the last week on Tropical Isle. That's exactly how it sounds.
I'll tell you what, Vonnie, some huge news for the Warriors, signing James Fisher-Harris from Penrith. I mean, I know he still had 2 years to go, but wanted to go home for personal reasons, so they've allowed him to do that. But after losing Adam Fanua-Blake, I think most people were thinking, oh, geez, they could ill afford to lose a front rower of that ilk, and then all of a sudden they've got one arguably... just as good, if not better.
Oh, I think it's an upgrade. I think we can all agree in that. And you're right, Adam Fanua-Blake has been such an integral part of driving this Warriors rebirth. And it was such major news. I was confused. I thought to myself, what am I reading that correctly? A three-time premiership winner and a Kiwi Test captain and the current Golden Boot winner, James Fisher-Harris, is now going to be a Warrior from as soon as next year. I think... this happened very quickly. I think the Panthers prop is probably one of the biggest signings that the Warriors have made in the history of their club. In terms of leadership, in terms of culture, in terms of that professional work ethic, from a middle forward, I think Payne Haas is the best prop we've got in the game, but I think James Fisher-Harris and Moses Leota are the best middle forward duo. So for James then to want to go back home and to be part of what the Warriors are doing, and you said replacing Adam Fanua-Blake, that's going to be no sweat at all. So I think it's also further proof of what the Warriors, the transition and the transformation of the Warriors, because they've gone from being, you know, a mediocre kind of club, very inconsistent with their performances, and now they are a desirable destination, and they're capable of winning a premiership. They were 80 minutes away from getting into the grand final last year, and they're getting that recognition. They're getting the respect of the NRL. They're putting together some really good footy, and it's a very deliberate rise that we're seeing week in, week out. And, yeah, I think that the signing of James Fisher-Harris just proves that everything is on track for the Warriors, and everything that their coach Andrew Webster has put into place is working. So, yeah, well done. I think it's going to be a wonderful fit for them.
What about Zach Lomax going to the Eels, Vonnie? Do you think a good decision from him? And do you think this has played a part in clearing his mind allow us to, I guess, continue to see the best of Zach?
Yeah, I think they're all relieved. They said that this week, that they just needed to put that issue to bed. And Zach had himself in the shop front window and, playing on the wing, but playing fantastically, jumping into fullback, halfway through games when Tyrell Sloan was, defensively a little bit poor. So, look, I think Zach will now has a fresh start, which he probably wants. Parramatta were seen on outside back, so they wanted someone of the class of Zach Lomax. I think it's just better now that you're not turning up to every week's press conference asking, oh, what's Zach doing? It becomes tedious, and you're talking about the same thing over and over. So he obviously has big ideas on what he could be. I know he wants to, he sees himself as a rep player. He wants to get into that sort of position. So maybe he'll be able to do that from Parramatta. And, for the Dragons, it just means that they can move on. They're 3-3 under Flatto so far. This week, Jack Bird's out injured. He's got that concussion. So Zach Lomax will move back to centre. So, I just think it's going to be a fresh start for Zach. It'll be a good addition for the Eels. And I think the Dragons were happy to see it all tidied up. So, I think it's a good one.
Gee, in regard to last night's game, 18-12, so the Storm over the Roosters there at Allianz, and a lot of these sort of texts this morning, when are people going to start putting the blowtorch on Trent Robinson being the biggest coaching fraud in the NRL, the most stacked side in the comp failing again? I mean, that's harsh.
That's harsh, but there's been a lot of them. Texts this morning.
Yeah, wanting to get into Robbo.
Get into Robbo.
But a 3-4 start is, they've had a tough draw too. That should be taken into consideration. But
this
he's is
won three competitions too. So you've got to take
credits that.
Yeah, so you're not looking at sacking a bloke like Trent Robinson. And I get that they've got the roster on him, but are you as critical as some of these text messages we're receiving?
Yeah, I don't know what the tone has changed. And I think we've seen a change in Robbo as well, because we're seeing more emotion and more frustration than he's ever really let on before. And we saw that again last night. He was clearly furious in the coach's box. And he's been a bit cranky this week again, when pressed about Tedesco. And then even he sort of carried all that tone into his post-match press conference. So he was super annoyed that Nelson Asifa-Solomona interfered with Michael Jennings as Eli Katoa scored. So he said, look, the NRL will be really clear about it. If it's in the act of a try being scored, then you go back and it's a penalty if someone's, been impeded. But I think, Trent Robinson is in a tricky position at the moment because the Roosters haven't hit any great heights so far this year. They're outside the eight. Next week, they've got that traditional Anzac Day matchup against the Dragons. And it's a tricky time for the Roosters because if you just look at the quality of that game, that was, like, for a Roosters and Storm game, traditionally we would expect elite rugby league. And I know it's only, round seven now, but it was an unsophisticated game in many ways. And some cheap options were being taken. They had 22 errors in total. The Roosters missed 36 tackles. So it just shows that things aren't where they need to be for the Roosters, and they have such high expectations of themselves, and their fans have high expectations. So, it's going to be an interesting season. And I think, look, traditionally the Roosters really get going when the whips are cracking it towards the end of the year. But they left their run way too late last year and were no hope of sort of getting into the eight. So they wanted to take the pressure off and have a better start and sort of jump clearly a little quicker in the season. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the Roosters, but it's just not quite working at the moment. But look, the Storm wasn't amazing either. But, don't know what's going to happen with the Roosters.
I think both teams are still very clunky with the football, Vonnie, this season. The difference, though, being, I think Melbourne are expanding their game and they're playing a style of football that we haven't sort of seen a lot of. Or they're trying to move the ball, and I think that's a good system if they're to get to the finals this season and win, because I think what they've been doing the last couple of years, they've been that consistent that I don't think they've ever had another gear once they get to the finals, and other teams have. Whereas I reckon this style that they're playing at the moment where they're moving the ball, it's not working. But I think it'll get better as the season goes on. So, therefore, I reckon they'll be a lot more of a threat than I think they were going to be at this stage. What they were before the start of the season, because I was a bit very concerned about their style. But I think this will open themselves up for more opportunities to score points. And whatever they have, the ability to defend and that attitude to defend like they do, I think they'll be more than competitive. The Roosters, on the other hand, for me, in attack, I think it's something along the lines of they've got all this talent, but they actually don't know what is the best fit for some of their players within the group. And in particular, Joey Manu. I see him there and you're going, well, how do you get him involved? Because when he plays fullback, he's a different player. So do you make a tough decision and move Teddy to another position, or do you move Manu from centre into 5/8? I see a lot of talent, but I'm unsure of what they know what their best combination is. You know, does Keary and young Wooker work well together, or are they too similar? Like, all these questions I have about their attack and their team, but I see the talent there. If they can get it right, they'll be challenging.
And you can throw Sand and Smith into that halves discussion as well. Do you know, like, it's, I think you're right. I think they're definitely a work in progress. Things, you know, maybe they are blessed with too much talent, and I completely agree. Joey Manu needs to be involved far more than he is. But how do you do that, and why do you do that? Because every move at the moment is going to be criticised, because, you know, Roosters fans, they want to see a style that they can get behind, and we're just not seeing that enough week in, week out. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for the rest of it for the Roosters. I think you're right about the Storm too, because you have to reinvent yourself in this game, and rugby league is constantly evolving, and if you don't keep up to date and don't keep up to with the style of the time or the season, you get left behind pretty quick when it comes to September. Yeah, I think the Storm, they've only had that spine together so infrequently with Pappenhausen and Munster and Jerome Hughes and Harry Grant. So I think really for the last couple of years, it's been very sporadic that they've all been fit and healthy and on the field at once. So we will definitely see improvement from Melbourne moving forward. Melbourne usually play the Warriors next week for our Anzac Day clash in Amy Park, and they always do such a beautiful job of that. But the Warriors wanted to host Anzac Day in New Zealand this year, so Melbourne couldn't quite make it work. So the Warriors are going to have the Titans in Auckland, and the Storm will end up playing the Bunnies on the 25th. So that'll be another watch and wait to see what happens with South.
What about my Tigers, Bonnie? Can we beat the Panthers on Saturday?
Well, do you remember last year at Carrington up at Bathurst? They did.
It
was the upset of the season. it was a soggy old wet game, and the West Tigers just got into it. And I think one of the best results that we saw all last year. So, yeah, absolutely they could. They, you know, the Panthers aren't perfect, and the West Tigers have proven that they're a bit of a thrill-a-minute team at the moment. So, yeah, absolutely I'd give them a shot. Do you?
Of course. I'm on him. I'm backing him.
Well, you're mad. But you do have Lockie Galvin back, as mentioned. So,
look,
before you go, Vonnie, we've got to get a tip from Uncle Laurie.
Oh, Uncle Laurie. Okay, so Saturday, race 8, number 12, Southport Tycoon. Kieran Maher, Jamie Carr on board.
In the all-age, it's been pop. It's the best backed in the all-age stakes with Tab currently. Best backed.
Good.
Is
very
Southport
good.
Tycoon. I've seen some money for Magic Time this morning as well at $9. But Southport Tycoon, Uncle Laurie's tip at the All Age Stakes, race 8, Southport Tycoon, $6 currently with Tab. Vonnie, you have a fantastic weekend. We'll catch you on Fox League Super Saturday.
Thank you, boys. See ya.
Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272 on the text line. The multi, open, popular. In the Tab Hallmark tomorrow at Randwick. Race 5, number 6, Colino to run top 2. In the Champagne Stakes, race 7, number 3, Broadsiding. Also to run top 2. It's paying $7.50 on the Tab app and website. Click on Sport and Today's Offers, and there it is under Sports Offers.
Yeah, and we've also got our Bets Friends text line selections, Amido. And two people won last weekend. So that was Turtle the Milkman and Dubbo Bulldog. So they are up again. So they've got Ascot in the Quokka, Bella Nipotina to win. And Dubbo Bulldog has Sunshine in Paris at Ramrick to win. And this week, we're adding three more. So we're going Seb from Lake Macquarie. He put in a brilliant sell. And he's going race 3, number 3, Inhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
Chucky the bus driver, long time caller, first time texter, or is that the other way around? What do they usually say? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Anyway.
Eastbourne.
This is your segment.
Number. You just race keep going 9, number 15. I know a star to win.
Sweet.
And then we've got Larissa. Larissa, the dog supporter. She's going really wide. From a wide barrier and at big odds. Number 10, race 10, number 5. Exceladus.
Gee, it's 50 to 1.
50 to 1. There you go. Okay. An honourable mention. I want to give an honourable mention to Finchop.
Your greenkeeper, mate.
All right. Now, he likes Magic Time. All right.
Good fella, Finchop.
Yeah, he is a good fella. He sold it on the text line. So, my promise to you, Finchop, is if Magic Time wins, you'll be up next week.
Right, but you couldn't put him up. But I couldn't put him up. Because you've already got Dubbo Bulldog in the same race.
Yeah, because at the moment I can only provide for 5 people being up on that Bet's Friends page. I'm sort of trying to expand it, but I can't get any more than 5 at this stage.
How about this text? Hey, Lots, seen Big Mido the other day. His head is a bit like Australia. You'd run out of rego driving around it, but not much in the middle. No name to that one.
Tell me, mate.
Great that you've seen me. Awesome. Thank you for that. Brilliant.
They never miss you. They
not
never
at all.
Miss
some
you.
Things will never change.
I tell you what I do like, you know, when just random text messages come in. Now, can you see what this price of this horse is in New Zealand running today? So we've just got a tip for a horse running at
Matamata.
Is it?
Yeah.
Matamata. In New Zealand. Well, I'm assuming Matamata's in New Zealand.
It sure is.
Race 3, and the horse is called?
Baggio. $3.40, favourite.
Right.
And for the O'Sullivan Scott Stable.
No name on it?
Yeah. $3.40, and that's to jump at 13 minutes to midday. But sometimes these win, don't they? We do notice.
We do notice those ones.
So all the text says is Baggio, race 3, Matamata today. Okay, we'll take it. $3.40 it is with Tab currently. Michael Maxworthy is going to give us some Queensland form shortly. Probably, in fact, where are you, pup? Where exactly are you? What city are you in? Oh, great. Now I've lost him. The connection finally falls apart. Well, just when I need him.
I thought it might have been the curry. He might have been the curry.
He's nut. No. He's frozen.
He's frozen.
He's done.
All right.
But Pup been joining us, obviously, over there from India. But just Meg Lenning on the Howie Games podcast revealed the reasons around withdrawing from last year's Ashes and eventually retiring, of course. Says she was running about 85 to 90 Ks a week. And she was under fueling, so lots of running, not eating enough to sort of maintain her weight. So she lost plenty of weight. That she was in denial. She was in a place physically or mentally to play cricket. She was snappy. That she wouldn't want to engage with people and was barely sleeping. So some really some revealing stuff about herself there on that podcast. She's been obviously. Arguably Australia's greatest female cricketer, you would say. She's certainly in the conversation, but really opening up about, why she's retired, because she did sort of just, I guess, she pulled out of the Ashes late, and then, I think she's still only 32 years old.
Right. Well, in this podcast, going on that, it sounds like she needs a rest.
Clearly.
Did she make any concessions that she may come back?
Not that I saw
and continue in the play for Australia.
In the sound bites I've seen, I didn't see her make that indication. Right. But so, I haven't seen all the I haven't heard the whole podcast.
Because sometimes when you get to that situation, you just need a complete break to freshen yourself up and mentally just clear your mind, and then you might change your opinion and you might have that love and you might change your thought process about where you are and come back and play. But I think she's made the correct decision. If she's getting herself in those situations, your health is so important that you can't continually do something that you don't enjoy and aren't, you're not loving, and it becomes a concern for everyone.
Might get some tips off you lots, considering, you were absent for the big blocks hour yesterday.
Yep.
So Adam Pengilly, who's a Dragons person, yeah, is pretty keen on the Warriors minus 6.5. They're $1.44 head-to-head against the Dragons. That's the 6 o'clock game. It's at Wynn Stadium, this game tonight. And the Warriors coming off that classic draw against Manly last week. And the Dragons, who've been a bit up and down, although beat the Tigers, who were pretty lackluster last Sunday, beat the Tigers reasonably convincingly 24-12. But at Wynn Stadium, what chance do you give the Dragons tonight at Wollongong?
Oh, you always got to be a chance at home, regardless of who you're playing. The Warriors, they were playing really good football at the moment. And you've got to say they're a trustworthy footy team. You know, the last 18 months, you look at the Warriors, and now when they travel to Australia or they've got a big game at home, you're expecting them to win. Whereas it's always been the case with the Warriors in the past, or some years in the previously, that you could never trust them. They could come off at the back of a big performance and then not be able to back it up the next week. So they're a serious threat in this competition if they're at full health. And I think they'll get the job done against the Dragons in this game.
And the other game tonight's in Darwin. And Parramatta coming off a really good win, a much-needed win against the Cowboys last week, up against the Dolphins, who went down in the Battle of Brisbane last week. And in this game, well, Hemiso's out, of course, with a hamstring injury. Blaise Talangi to come off the bench for the Eels. And Brad Arthur was speaking yesterday, conceding they don't know Talangi's best position yet. And he isn't sure the 19-year-old knows himself. But Arthur added that Talangi's keen on playing fullback. So a possible successor, who knows, maybe to Clint Gutherson down the track. Gutho's going nowhere, you'd think, for a while, though. Talangi's still to take up an option for next year. And you wonder whether the fact that Zach Lomax is coming there could affect that. But that's for something for him and his management to ponder. I mean, he's only played, what, 3 games in first grade anyway. But the Parramatta Eels are $1.44 in Darwin. The Dolphins are $2.80 and plus 7.5 at the line. Why have I got a feeling about this game that it's not cut and dry for the Eels at all?
Because Wayne Bennett's in charge of the Dolphins? Mm. Oh, will he be there?
He's had, I think, man flu or something.
Yeah, so I read that.
He may not make it.
May not make it to the game. Without Hemiso, I favour Parramatta. But if Hemiso was playing, I think they could get the job done. In Darwin, it'll be hot. That'll have an effect on the game. And, you know, Parramatta's big forwards could be out of gas if they don't look after the pill. So they've got to make sure that their completion rates are high, although it can be difficult up there in those type of conditions. But I think they're a gritty football team, Parramatta. They still won't be at their best without Mitch Moses, but I think they've got enough in their forward stocks to get a bit of momentum, and Dylan Brown and Gutherson, if they can produce some magic plays, they might be better defensively than the Dolphins. But this will be a tight game, I think.
Pup, we got you back.
I'm back. Sorry, boys. Beautiful. I don't know what just happened.
I thought it might have been the curry. That was all.
Curry free at this stage. It's only, what are we here? Nearly 4:30 in the morning, 4:15 a.m. So no curry for breakfast. Maybe for dinner I'll go again. Loves a bit of lamb Rogan Josh or chicken tikka masala. Just to spice it up for me. I love the food over here, I've got to say.
I love the food.
Hard to keep the weight down, though, you know.
Yes. All right. We're going to go to Queensland and get some form and some tips, and no man better to give us them than Sky Racing's Michael Maxworthy. How are you, Maxi?
I'm well, thank you, Mido. Morning, guys. We've got a beautiful day here in Brisbane, and we're getting set for a bumper carter racing at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Mido, probably, for me, the most exciting meeting that we've had, probably since Magic Mediums Day, a little bit of quality lining up.
Yeah, certainly is. What's your best on the card? Give us your bets. We'll go straight to them.
All right. Race 4 at Eagle Farm, Iverson. He got the cash for us last time, and I really think this will be rinse and repeat. Everything looks exactly the same as last time. He's drawn a good gate.
He's just been scratched, Maxi. I'm sorry to do this to you. I've just opened the market. Yeah, only in the last half an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, Iverson's out. 25 cents the win, 16 cents the place.
One of your best, Maxi. One of your best.
You're not the... No. Gee, oh, you get great support from Loz, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I thought if he was running, I'd at least get one winner out of the nine. Now there's a chance I could go zero because it's a bit of a tough card. All right, we've got to regroup. Let's go race three, number 13, Ocean Czar. She was my second best on the card. She's just had no luck at all since winning here at Eagle Farm a few starts ago. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. She got flattened two starts ago and was eased out of it. Then she had the visitor's draw last time, had to go back to last and zigzag in the straight, and she got pretty close to the winner, Prince of Boom, at the end. So got a better draw. Surely it's a case of third time lucky for her. So we'll go with her. Race three, number 13, Ocean Czar, is our best bet on the card at Eagle Farm.
And it's $3.10 currently with TAP.
You like anything at Randwick tomorrow, Maxie? Actually, is there any Queenslanders running down here tomorrow? And if so, who are you sort of looking at for them to come back and maybe win some of the races up there in the winter?
Yeah, fairly quiet for us. I think you mentioned the price of the one that we were looking at last week, El Mozillo, at about 50-1 in that Percy Sykes. I tell you what, it was a bit stiff not to win, but those fillies, the Queensland fillies out of that, will come back here and they might find a nice listed race. But concerning Queensland with Randwick tomorrow, we'll be watching closely, Loz, because a few of these horses will be coming on to Queensland. I mean, the all-age stakes last year, we saw Giga Kick win it, 1,400 metres, and then he came back to 1,200, came up here for the Doomben 10,000 and won it. So I'm sure a few of those sprinters in the all-age will be hitting our way with our carnival only 2 weeks away. And the race that I'm looking at, maybe for a Derby horse or maybe an Oaks horse, is the Frank Packer Plate at Randwick tomorrow, race four. Now, I heard Ali on the radio earlier today putting a good case forward for the prices filly Al Gold Hope, and rightly so. She's won over the 2,000. But I'm with Davo, Brad Davidson, and looking at Tannhauser. Now, I'm thinking that Chris Waller could be bringing him to Queensland for the three-year-old classic races because it appears that he's been held back a little bit. He's only had three starts this time in. Last two have been very much eye-catching. Hitting the line hard, coming from last behind Ducasse over the mile of the Carbine Club. I think the key points to him winning tomorrow is the 2,000 and the good barrier for James McDonald where he can posse a little bit closer. So I'll be looking at him to perhaps win that and then come up here and make his presence felt in some of our three-year-old races.
And I've just triple-checked. Iverson's definitely out of race four.
All right. Okay. I have to readjust the selections there.
Yeah. Text messages come in, Maxie. I don't know how well you studied the last race. And I'm just having a look here myself before I ask you the
Presslink
question.
Presslink is the horse, I think.
Presslink. They've just said M-Rod is riding last race,
yeah.
Any good, Maxie?
Yeah, look, he's this is a great race. This is the Daybreak Lover, 1,400, and it acts as a main lead-up to the Guineas in 2 weeks' time, and they've specifically set Presslink for the Guineas. He's had three starts for three wins. Most impressive last start over the 1,200. Michael Rod's been on him all three starts, sticks with him naturally, really likes the horse. Been ridden patiently by Michael, and he finished like a shot out of a gun last start to score over the 1,200. So he's had a freshen up, and this 1,400 metres looks absolutely spot on for him. Having said that, I'm with him. I think he'll win. We've got a horse here called Easy Done, number 12, from Andrew Noblett Stables in Victoria. Gee, you wouldn't see a better maiden win than this guy when he won a Bendigo. And he looked so good that they took him to Adelaide for the Morphettville Guineas where he was stiff. He was back last. He came 6-7 wide. The leader actually controlled the race, kicked and won. So he adds a lot of interest to it, that Easy Done number 12 in the last. And we've got a filly up here doing big things, number 17, called Exotic Miss. So this is a really good race. But I'm with you, and I'm looking at Presslink to uphold that excellent record that he's got. Three starts, three wins so far.
Yeah, very, very popular. $3.30 into $2.60 in that market for the last, the Daybreak Lover at the Eagle Farm as well. Maxie, have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Steve Hewlett, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Well, thanks, Jerry. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Look, Les Bridge is going to join us, the latest with Celestial Legend, to see what he's thinking about during the spring. And as we said yesterday, Cox Plate, or is it the Golden Eagle? Look, Barassi's a really interesting horse in the first in Brisbane. He's only, he's a five-year-old having his third start, but he set the track on fire when he won his maiden last start. So Toby Edmonds will tell us why he's so lightly raced and some of the things they've had to deal with Barassi. He very much looks like I Am Invincible, according to Toby Edmonds. Barassi and Toby trained I Am Invincible in the early days. That horse of Andrew Noblet's, we're going to get him on the air that Maxworthy and Michael spoke about in the last in Brisbane. Easy done, a very exciting horse. A backmarker, does things wrong, but gee, he's got a great engine. Henry Dwyer, the latest there, Asfura, just a hiccup with getting her over to the UK. And also the latest on the Sangster Noms next week in Adelaide. And Simon Miller, if time allows, about Amelia's Jewel in the big $5 million, the Quokka, tomorrow in the West.
It's a busy day. Looking forward to it, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up on Radio Tab and fresh from Orange after a big Calcutta ahead of the Orange Gold Cup today. Dave Stanley, good morning.
Morning, Minnow. Morning, boys. How are we?
Very well, thanks, mate. How was it? Were you the Ofer or the Robin Hood?
No, it was the Robin Hood last night.
That's right.
Big night. Looking forward to a big cup day today.
One of my spies spotted you out last night, Dave.
Yes.
Got a text message last night.
What did they have to report back?
All he said was DS on fire as usual.
Yep, no.
That's all it said.
It was a big night in Orange. Looking forward to the punters panel, boys.
Who's on?
Looking at that final Randwick meeting. We've got a good little panel today. What are you laughing at?
Where else did you end up?
Pardon?
Where else did you end up?
You sound a bit raspy.
Croaky, DS.
Well, I'm croaky. Now, Chris Roach is on the panel. Nick Burney, Mitch Cohen, Blake Johnson. My mind's running a million miles an hour, boys. And I'm looking forward to this punters panel tomorrow.
Can you find us a winner, though? We need a winner.
We need a winner.
Yeah, you're on fire last night.
I'll
tell you what he did do, DS.
I know, I've said it a lot.
What's that?
Mick Kent Jr. Outstanding yesterday, boys. Outstanding.
What about that horse last Saturday, Warmonger? Should that have won or what?
Yes.
Oh, that was a tease.
I know, it was a tease. But what about tease. DS was at his best last week because I put the Burley out.
I was on that text.
Actually, you were on that text. So I put the Burley out. I said, have anyone got anything?
Yeah.
Anyhow, I don't even know. I can't remember what the horse was. It was running somewhere. And DS goes, back this. So everyone to a man came back on it and said, you got one last chance, Dave. One last chance. And it saluted.
Yep.
And then like a good Dave Stanley, and only Dave Stanley can do The next hour, it was ping, ping. That was coming from everywhere.
I think it was out wide somewhere.
Yeah, it was out wide somewhere.
Group 1 racing on the day, and I've gone to Terang or somewhere. But you know the best thing? You all followed. 100%. Everyone followed.
Oh, I love it. Ararat.
Ararat.
Ararat. This is the chat. And everyone who punts loves. This is exactly. Ararat 1-3. Get on, boys. I'll give you one chance, Stanley. Stable like it. Loz, random bet with my leftovers. One chance, mate. And then you posted your ticket. Yeah. The horse was Got Yourself a Gun was the name of the horse.
That's right. You're in Tumut. That's right.
That's in Tumut.
Fair play, Dave. Stuff me. I thought halfway, this is not good. And then it just continues. Then Bendigo, 3-9 each way.
Keep
it rolling. Should have won.
Should have won.
Gold Coast 1-2. Townsville 2-6. Loz. Game's over, DS. DS, let's keep it rolling. Ataki, 6-3. We've gone to Ataki.
And he was going everywhere and we were losing. But he had the confidence for that hour. He was up and about.
Singapore. And then Loz goes,
1-5
where
each way. 1-10 each way. Back them both.
Hey boys,
we didn't get a winner. We did not get one winner after that first one.
It's so good.
It was outstanding. And you know, everyone's got that story too. People listening would have that. So Orange Cup today, boys. Who's going to win it? I tell you what was very popular at the Calcutta last night. Obviously, I'm hearing myself back. By the way,
no excuses,
John.
There is nothing worse than that. I hear.
Piraeus, 250, well backed for Richard and Will Freeman, and another horse that's been well backed as well, Blue Guitar, who was really good at Wellington last start.
Peter Nestor and Choc Cavallo, 550, third line of betting for the cup today.
Cold water, boys. Just in all seriousness, how good is cold water? Gee, it's underrated.
What are you talking about, cryotherapy or what?
No, I'm just drinking cold water. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, this could and be this next hour. Very could important. Be anything, boys. Could be anything.
Oh, as long as you enjoy yourself, DS. As long as you tip a winner to the punters on punters post mortem.
I love you, DS. I love you.
Anyway, well, take it away, Minnow. It's your show.
No, beautiful, mate. We'll catch you, Dave Stanley, coming up. Punters pedal. Huge show. Huge show. Full of enthusiasm. All there from Orange this morning. Coming up just after the news. It is 30 seconds to 9 o'clock. Pup, you have a great weekend. Good calling over there in India.
Yeah, enjoy your weekend, boys.
Loz,
good on you, Pup.
Keep doing you.
I'll
brother.
Just keep doing me, mate. I'll be putting the burley out tomorrow. I'll be trying to find winners off people, and I'll be on. I'll be ready to go.
Have a great weekend, everyone.